This is Assorted Immigrant Stories podcast. My name is Zenith Mwangahama-Mbamalao, and I am your host. And for those of you that are stopping by for the very first time, this is a podcast about immigrant journeys, the things I and others wish we knew. We have interviews and share conversations with immigrants from diverse backgrounds and countries as they share their own immigration stories. We explore struggles, triumphs, and culture adjustments. We discuss identity, belonging, and community. And we also highlight successes and contributions to both American society and back home, and that's wherever home might be. We also review some books that touch on the immigrant story. So don't forget to rate and review, like, share, and subscribe to wherever you get your podcast from. Assorted Immigrant Stories podcast. On today's episode, we will be talking about the DV lottery, the Diversity Visa Lottery. We'll talk about a brief history, a few milestones, what it is, who qualifies, when you can do it, and that's pretty much it. So let's briefly talk about the history of it. So the DV lottery is also known as the Green Card Lottery. Actually, for most people, I think that's the name they know, but it's the same thing. Diversity Visa Lottery, Green Card Lottery, same thing. And right now, for example, we're calling it DV Lottery 2026 because the U.S. fiscal year begins in July next year, 2026. So it's, and by the time the results are out and people start processing, it will be 2026. So in this year, 2024, we're calling it DV Lottery 2026. And it did open already this year on October 2nd, and it will end on November 5th. It always opens somewhere around the first week of October and ends sometime in the first week of November. The date does change. It varies from year to year. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about the early beginnings. The DV Lottery was created by the Immigration Act of 1990, and it was signed into law by President George H.W. Bush. The program aimed to diversify the U.S. immigration population by providing opportunities for citizens of countries with low immigration rates. So you will notice, for example, this year, Nigeria in Africa, for example, is not on the list, but that's because they've had like up to 50,000 people who've been granted residency in the last 5 years. So every year it will change because of that. But that speaks to the Nigerian hustle and the Nigerian representation, for example. So there are many, they're not on the list, but you see that other countries are still there because they have not reached those numbers yet. Okay. All right. And then a few key milestones. In 1995, the first DV lottery was held with 50,000 visas available, actually. And I did speak to a Zambian who won it in 1994, and that episode will be coming up sometime in the near future. So very interesting. And in 1997, it was expanded to include more countries and increased the number of visas to 50,000 per year, not just like the one time, but per year, with a few exceptions, obviously. And I think this year it's like 55,000, and it's like 7% per country, the way they divide it, something like that. And in 2000, the lottery was transitioned to an online application process. So before, it used to be like paper application, and then it transitioned to an online, which is what it is today. So you notice even as you apply, for example, like if you apply today, there is a section which still has like a mailing address. They don't use it. They don't ever use it. The way of communication is via email, but it is there because the paper form looked that way. So not much change. It just went to online, but you know, it's not something they use, but it's there. But your way of communication will be via email. So make sure when you're applying for the DV lottery, use a private email. Don't share it with anybody unless you have somebody who is trusted that is helping you with the application. That's the only time you should share it. Or if you use a trusted service, but be very careful. There are a lot of scammers out there. A lot of websites will charge you money. The application is free. It is free for the DV lottery. The only time it will cost you money is on the back end if you do win and you have to pay like visa fees, green card fees, obviously transportation, and you have to prepare obviously for accommodation when you come here, medicals, that kind of stuff will cost you money, but the application itself is free. Now, obviously, it's without controversies and attempts to end the program. That has happened. In 2007, the Secure Borders Economic Opportunity and Immigration Reform Act, which would have eliminated the DV lottery, failed to pass. Yep. And in 2017, the Trump administration attempted to terminate the program, but that was met with so much opposition. So obviously, that did not work. So, and with that, the DV lottery remains operational with 50,000, 55,000 visas available annually. You know, the program is administered by the U.S. Department of State, and over 20 million people enter the lottery annually. So that's a lot of people. And since its inception, the DV lottery has granted over 1 million visas. So yeah, take up this chance, take up this opportunity. It's just a great way to come, because it's just much more difficult when you come on some other visas. Like I came on an F1 visa and it was just very difficult. You have access to very few things because you stated that you could afford and you could come here. But for me, I think it was just not understanding what my visa limitations were. And then I was here and then realizing just how difficult it was going to be. And so if you come this way, if you win the lottery, you have a green card, it just makes life a lot easier and just much, you know, you just get more benefits and stuff like that. All right, so who eligibility requirements? Okay, so to qualify, you must be a native of a country with low rates of immigration to the United States. For example, Nigeria this year, like I said already, is not on the list, and all the other African countries are. So there are other countries which are not on the list, like Bangladesh, Brazil, Canada, China, India, and so forth. But like I said, if you do have a spouse or parents that are from a qualifying country, you could be eligible. So that's the only other way that could work. Yep. And then for education and work experience, you obviously need to meet certain educational and work requirements. And it's usually the minimum is like having a high school diploma for us, which is, for example, in Zambia, it's like grade 12 certificate, or I don't know what you might call it in your country. So for us, we call it secondary school. They call it high school here in America. So if you have that, or 2 years of experience in an occupation that requires at least 2 years of training or experience in the last 5 years. And that could be anything like plumbing, electrician, any one of those trade programs. Yeah, so if you have that, even if you didn't finish high school, you're still eligible to apply. And how to apply? There's only one website, and that website is dvprogram.state.gov. It's dvprogram.state.gov. And remember to be very careful that there are a lot of websites out there that pause as the DV lottery website, and they are not correct, and or they'll charge you money. So be very careful, because hackers are working really, really hard. Hackers are working really, really hard. And just a few tips and reminders. I will go through some things real quickly. But before I forget, I already talked about the one website. Follow the instructions carefully. There are like 35 pages of instructions. Read them. Applying today and applying next week does not change your chances, because some people are in a hurry. They want to apply now. It's better to just read the instructions, understand, that way you know where you are at, and then you apply. But obviously, you do not want to wait until the last minute, because people wait until the last minute and the last day, and sometimes the system will crash because there are too many people trying to apply at the same time. So it opened on October 2nd. Get your pictures ready. You should be applying this week, you should be applying next week, and even the next week. It's usually close to 4 to 5 weeks, so you do have time. So take your time, follow the instructions carefully, make sure you read and understand the application process. And once you're done, when you click submit, you will get a confirmation number. You will save that safely, email it to yourself, take a screenshot, because you will come back, you will need that to check your application status sometime in May when the results do come out. So when they come out, you need your email, your confirmation number. That way you can retrieve your results. Okay, so let's just go over a few little things, you know, when applying that you just want to avoid, a few mistakes that you want to avoid. Fill out your last name first, your first name, and then your middle name. So be very careful. I would suggest that you use a birth certificate to fill out this information. That way you don't make mistakes. And if you have a passport already, because obviously you used your birth certificate to obtain a passport, then you use the information from your passport to apply. That way everything matches. Now, you might mix up maybe your middle name, last name. Not a big deal. That's something that's correctable if you if you got lucky and you got selected, that's something you can still correct in the future after you've won. But you still want to avoid that because you don't want to waste time, because that's a process as well. If you want to correct something, then it takes time. You have to go here, go to court, go there, and stuff like that. And you absolutely do not want that. So it's better to just put it from the beginning and you have it right. And then you avoid the mistakes. And then you put your birthday and the way it is here in the US. So for example, if let's say I was born June 20th, 1980, the way I'll put my birthday is 06-20-1980. So that's June 20th, 1980. So it's the month first, but you have to put numbers. Don't type it out. And then the day, the date, and then the year. The next thing is you click the gender. You will say whether it's you're male or female. So you will choose whichever one it is. And after you fill out your birthday and stuff like that, it will ask you for city of birth. So city of birth, for example, I was born in Luansha, so I would indicate Luansha, right? But I hear for some people, they might have an area where they were born, not particularly a city. So you will put the nearest city. But for this section, you can actually just check unknown. That's perfectly allowed. You can say city unknown, and that's okay. It's not such a big deal. And then you place your country of birth. And for most people, the country of birth is your country of eligibility. So you see it's asked twice, and I always wondered why they had it that way. So it's going to be country of birth. You choose that. And then country of eligibility, which would be the same thing. So it will be yes, and it won't even open up the next tab. All right. And then you'll be asked for your mailing address. So remember, in the past, it used to be paper application, and now it's internet application, but it still has this section. Anyway, you just put your address there, whatever your address is. And it's very important that you put your address where you live, where you're living today. So it doesn't matter. So suppose you're in Zambia, but you live in Singapore. So you put the address where you live in Singapore, because if you win, you will go to the nearest embassy in Singapore. You're just going to be near like an embassy where you can do that, because you don't want to put an address somewhere in Zambia and you're all the way in Perth, Australia. And then if you win, unless you're willing to do all the tickets and do all that just to go and do this. But you want to try and avoid that. You want to try and avoid the cost, because remember, it will cost you money on the back end. This is free, but on the back end, you need the money. All the hospital bills, checkups and everything that you need to do, air tickets, applying for the green card itself, you will need money for all that. Now, the email address is very important. Email address is very important because this is where all the correspondence will happen. This is how you will be able to check your status. And if for some reason you lose your confirmation number, it's the email address and your birthday you will use to retrieve that confirmation number. In the past, it used to be that you couldn't even retrieve the confirmation number, but now you can. So make sure you use a personal, private email address. You don't want to use a work address, a school address. You don't want to use anything that you might not have access to. Make sure you use an email that you have access to. It's private to you, and don't share it with anybody. And should anybody apply for you, make sure you're watching. Make sure you're sitting there and you're making sure that they're putting your email address and not their email address. All right. And you will be required to upload a picture. This picture is very, very important. And I say this because I have a personal story. I used to apply for the DV lottery for years, but I never realized that because I never read the instructions, which is why it is important to read the instructions. I never read the instructions. So I never followed the picture instructions to the T. I followed the main things. It was 600 by 600 pixels. It was less than 240 kilobytes. The background was white. I did all that. My head was like up to 60%. The problem is I was smiling wide on the picture. And when I put in the application, the system took the picture as accepted. And I thought I was good. It's now I realize, oh my God, I didn't realize you can be disqualified in the second phase if your picture is wrong that way. For the most part, if the dimensions are wrong, if the weight is wrong, the system will tell you you will not even proceed to the next stage. If you try to continue, because it comes like part one, you fill out all these demographics, you put a picture. And if you try to say continue, if the picture is not right, it will error. It will give you an error until you fix the picture. But if the weight of the picture is right, the dimensions are correct, but you're smiling wide and you're wearing glasses, it will accept it because those dimensions are correct, but you will be disqualified in the second phase. So you just want to make sure you follow these picture instructions. 600 by 600 pixels, less than or equal to 240 kilobytes, white or off-white background. You do not want to wear glasses. Even if you wear glasses on everyday life, you do not want to wear glasses, sunglasses. The only covering you might have is a hijab. But even with that, you want to make sure that your face is visible. So your picture will be in color. But remember, off-white and white background. You don't want that background to be blue or gray or any of those colors. So follow those picture instructions. There are a lot of examples. Use the photo tool that's available on the application. It's right there. If you go in the instructions, there's a photo tool. Put your picture there. And now with the phones that we have today, with all these cell phones and smartphones, you can crop it to the dimensions and the size that you want it. That way it is perfect. And that way you give yourself the best chance. Yeah, so don't go smiling with your teeth out. You must be neutral. Yeah, you must be neutral. You're required to be neutral. So just make sure that you do that. I never did that. So I'm sure, I wonder who was looking at my application. But anyway, it is a random selection. But after that, if your picture is somehow, yeah, forget it. You just lost your chance. And when it comes to marital status, a lot of people have a lot of questions. So you will have options: married and married, legally separated, divorced and widowed. So married means just that. You're married and you have a certificate to show that you're married. This is not customary law marriage. No, it's not. That doesn't count. That means you check and married if you're married that way. This marriage is only, you can proof documentation that you are married, then you will say married. Now, let me go to legally separated. So for people who are legally separated, you must also have documentation of your legal separation. But if you're just separated for some reason, you know, you've gone about your lives, your separate ways, you have to check married. You actually have to check married, because if you don't, you will be disqualified. And married is just that. You're not married. But also, just because you've gone your separate ways with somebody, but you did not have documentation, you didn't divorce, you're still married. You're not unmarried. As long as you're married on paper, on application, you should also be married. So just put however your situation is today legally. How it is legally is what you should put. Divorced, widowed, those are self-explanatory. We all know what those are, so we're not going to get into that. People just get confused on the married and married and legally separated. Yeah. So it's whatever the situation that you can prove is what you have to put there. If you can't prove it, then it's not there. Okay. Then when you finish the first part and you're able to submit it and the picture is good, and if you, depending on how many children you have, for example, if it's zero, then it's just going to, you're just going to get to the end. But if you have children, then it opens another part for you, because now you have to enter, children or a spouse, it now means you have to enter information of, I think they call them derivatives, but it's your spouse and your children. So, and everybody must have a picture, by the way. It's not just you, the applicant. It's the applicant and everybody that's going to be part of your application must have a picture taken. So if, for example, I'm applying and I said I'm married and I said I have two children, so it will take me to the next section. I'll put my spouse's information. We'll do that. I'll do the same thing I did for myself. It will be his name, his birthday, country of birth, and all that stuff. And then children as well. Oh, and when it comes to children, you see, when we were growing up, we used to grow up with cousins, nieces, nephews, and we were all just blended and everybody was just a family. Hear what they count when they say children. Hear what they count when they say children. They're talking about your biological children, legally adopted children, meaning you have documentation to show. I'm sorry, my phone is binging. So when it comes to children, and they call them derivatives or dependents, that will be your spouse and your children. You will enter their information, their name and dates of birth, and you have to upload their pictures as well. And so for children, what they're talking about is by your biological children, legally adopted children, meaning you have documentation to prove that you adopted them, and your stepchildren from a legal marriage. So if you have married to somebody and they have children, your stepchildren, you have to put them in your application. If you don't, you can be disqualified. Yeah. And your spouse, obviously, those are the people that you'll be there. So for your children have to be 21 years and younger that can be on, and unmarried as well, that can be on your application. And for husband and wife, if you both are eligible, you can both apply and you'll be derivatives on each other's application. That gives you a double chance. And for the children as well, it's a double chance. And if you have a child who's under 21 and for some reason meets all the requirements, they're under 21, but they've finished high school, they've done training, they have a triple chance. You only have one chance to put the primary application. Just one for everybody. Just one. Do not do a duplicate application. You'll be disqualified. But you can be a derivative on somebody else. So wife on husband, husband on wife, and child on both parents. So yeah, people in that situation, you have a little bit more chances to win, especially that child who is under 21 and still meets the requirement. You have a triple chance to win, because it could be your mom, it could be your dad, and it could be yourself. Yeah, what a wonderful thing. All right. And I think that is pretty much the basics of the DV lottery. And if you do have questions, please find me on Facebook on Africans Thriving in America. Drop your questions and I'll be able to answer them on a separate episode where I can do like a Q&A and answer some frequently asked questions. I will do that in another episode before the DV lottery ends. I will try and see which questions people are asking the most. And before, maybe 2 weeks before the DV lottery ends, I will drop another episode so we can tackle some of those questions and just break those things out. All right. Well, that was all for today. Thank you for listening. Don't forget to rate, like, share, and subscribe to wherever you get your podcast from. And for now, it's goodbye. And until the next episode, you do take care. So just a few corrections from the episode. So my upcoming guest won the DV lottery in 1995, not 1994. So he played in 1994. That's when he applied for it and won it in 1995. And when it comes to children, I realized I said 21 and younger. No, children have to be younger than 21 years old. So below 21, they could be 20 years, 11 months old. They have to be under 21 years old at the time of application. And the last thing, I don't know what, I must have been tired. I was trying to say, for example, you're from Zambia, but for some reason you work and live in Singapore. You live there. So you're going to use the address there. So you can be in any part of the world when putting in your application. All right. One last time. Until the next episode, for real, it's goodbye and take care.